Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, a time when Christians prepare to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
We continue our preparation with thoughts of love.
As we light the fourth candle on our Advent wreath, we remember the God promises of love, God's love found in Psalm 103 and John chapter 15.
The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
The birth of Jesus is God's gift of love to us.
Think about this love as you prepare for Christmas.
It is time to listen to God's word. Please open your hearts and listen to the words of David's praise, which comes from Psalm chapter 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the path of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
It's been quite a year, hasn't it? We come to the end of 2020 and we look back and realize what a challenging, difficult year it has been. It has been a year filled with anxiety. Early in the COVID season, within the first 3 or 4 weeks, I found myself with a constant headache. That's not like me, I don't get headaches, but I did, and it just didn't go away. In those same 4 or 5 weeks, as things were just crashing in upon us, I felt the stress, pressure, and anxiety of my life in my shoulders. I described it to my wife, Karen, as if there was a 350-pound New York Giant linebacker sitting on my shoulders the whole time. Well, you experience similar anxiety. You've been through this as well. I don't know what your symptoms have been, but all of us have experienced some manifestation of the anxiety, the fear, the stress, and the worry that COVID-19 has brought upon us. Now, Christmas is here, and in a normal year, Christmas brings its own anxiety and worry and stress. So we add Christmas into COVID, and a lot of people are feeling like these folks look. Can you identify with any of these folks? Take a look. One person told me that many folks they talk to are feeling overwhelmed, and it's even spilling over into some really important folks. So, the reality is that anxiety and fear and worry have been and continue to be a part of our experience. Now, this is nothing terribly new. There has always been things in life which bring us to feel tension and anxious and stressful and worried and fearful. Any kind of concern that we have for how the future is going to turn out can lead us to this kind of anxiety. Anxiety is always about what's going to happen in the future, whether that future is in 5 minutes or 5 years. And all of us have some need to control what happens in the future, certain people a lot more than others, but we all want to somehow control what's going to happen. And when we seem to be out of control, when we can't influence the future the way we want to, that's when anxiety and its cousins, fear and worry, all meld together and help us to feel very, very uneasy. Some people are chronic worriers and chronically anxious. Maybe some of you would say, yes, I'm just always anxious. It reminds me of the story of a husband and wife who were asleep one night in their home. Their kids had gone off to college and were away, and just the husband and wife were asleep in the bed in the middle of the night when the wife wakes up the husband and says, I hear something downstairs. I think there's a burglar here. You have to go downstairs and check this out. The husband wakes up and gets on his slippers and his bathrobe and starts walking down the stairs. About halfway down the stairs, he looks, and sure enough, he sees a burglar putting things into a bag, stealing stuff from them. Well, the husband pauses a moment and then calls out to the burglar. He says, sir, listen, you can take whatever you want, but I want you to do me a favor. Would you please come upstairs and meet my wife? She's been expecting you for 20 years. Yes, yeah, some of us are that chronic worrier, that chronically anxious spirit about what's going to happen. One person said it's a little bit like wearing dark glasses. When you wear dark glasses, everything looks a little darker. And some of us are just chronically worried and anxious about what's going to happen. We do fully know that when we are anxious, when fear and worry get a hold of us, it's very unhealthy for us. It's terrible for our bodies. Anxiety and worry and fear impact our heart, our blood pressure, our gastrointestinal system, our immune system. Yes, nothing good comes from being anxious in your body. Neither do things work out well when you're anxious a lot with your relationships, because relationships need peace. Also, the way we see the world, our attitude, our moods are all impacted by anxiety and fear and worry. And you know most of these things. Martha was an anxious worrier. Martha seemed all the time to be anxious about one thing or another. And one day, she and her sister Mary, with whom she lived, learned that Jesus, their good friend, was coming to visit. He was going to be getting there in just a couple of hours. And right away, Martha got real anxious and worried about what they were going to do and how they were going to have a great meal for Jesus. For you see, in biblical Palestine of the time, hospitality was a sacred duty, always welcoming anyone with radical hospitality and providing for them. And Martha took that to the extreme. Well, Jesus shows up, and as he comes in, Mary, Martha's sister, says, Jesus, it's so good to see you. Come on into the living room. Let's talk. Martha runs into the kitchen. And there, anxiously, begins preparing this meal that she wants to give to Jesus. But she gets really upset because her sister isn't helping her. Next thing you know, Martha goes into the entry to the living room and sees Jesus with Mary sitting there listening to him. And she says, "Jesus, tell Mary to come into the kitchen and help me. She's not helping me." As Martha was so anxious. And Jesus replies, "Martha, Martha, your sister has chosen the better way by sitting here and listening to me. You are anxious about too many things." And so this classic biblical story reminds us that there's Martha in a lot of us, and always we need to learn from Mary. So it brings us to the biblical story of the shepherds you heard read a moment ago, because here too, there is fear and anxiety. You know the story well. The shepherds are out in their fields. They're doing their job. They are simply not expecting anything new or different this particular night, when all of a sudden, a bright light in the sky and angels appear. And the angel comes over to the shepherds and makes this amazing announcement that over in Bethlehem, the Messiah has been born. And what is the first reaction, Luke tells us, from the shepherds? They were terrified. Not just fearful, not just worried. They were terrified. That's fear on steroids. You kind of can sense that. You have had moments of being terrified. Well, the angel replies, "Don't be afraid." Now, I'm sure the angel had good intentions there, but I want to tell you, when I am really upset and stressed and worried and fearful and anxious, and someone comes up to me and says, "Oh, don't be afraid," I'm not sure that really ever does very much for me. I kind of want to say, "Is that all you got?" Isn't it true that when you are anxious about something, you want to do something? So, when your car is making a really strange sound, and someone nearby hears it, and they say, "Oh, don't worry about that," is that enough? Of course not. You're going to go and do something about the car. When there's ice all over your driveway and your walkway, and someone sees it and says, "Oh, don't worry about that," is that enough? No, you want to do something about it. When your child is throwing up and someone says, "Oh, don't worry about it," that's not enough. You want to do something. When that bill is overdue and someone says, "Oh, don't be afraid about that," that's not enough. You want to do something about that. And if a parent has a teenager come and say, "I'm really afraid of the algebra test next week," the parent isn't going to say, "Oh, don't be afraid." What's the parent going to say? "Go study more. Do something about it." So back to the shepherds. The angel says, "Don't be afraid." And then the angels leave. And then the shepherds make a decision. They decide, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Listen to how it unfolded. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And listen, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning this miracle. When they had seen him, they hurried off and they saw him. And once they did that, once they moved toward Jesus and saw him, what happened? The fear disappeared. The anxiety faded away. A great, great lesson. When you are anxious, friends, move closer to Jesus. When you are anxious, move closer to Jesus. This is a lovely cross that I bought in Haiti many years ago. It's quite decorative. So think of this example. When I hold this cross out here and look at it, I see the cross, but right in my eyesight, I also see the sign behind it. I also see the wall, and I also see the pillar. But watch what happens. You know, when I pull the cross closer and closer and closer and keep looking at the cross, you know what happens to your eyesight. What is it? Things behind everything else becomes blurry, and the cross becomes clearer as it gets closer. That's an example of how it is that when you are anxious and worried and fearful, when you move closer to Christ, the other things fade away and become less clear. The cross becomes clearer and dominates your field of view. So think about how to take steps to claim peace in the midst of anxiety. The first is to pray. Talking with God brings us closer to God, even as the cross became closer to my eyes. Prayer is a powerful mechanism for pushing away the anxiety that comes. One of my favorite prayers is, "Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind." Another mantra prayer that I've used many, many times began in a season of trouble in my life a long time ago. And I needed to figure out how to embrace a simple mantra prayer that would say for me everything I needed to say to God. And so I resolved in that season of my life, every morning, before my feet hit the ground from the bed, I would pray, "Lord, forgive me my sins. Have mercy upon me. Grant me your peace." Summarizing for me in that season everything I needed to say to God. Forgive me my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me, which means come to my aid, and grant me your peace. For many people, the Serenity Prayer is one of the most powerful ways to embrace peace in the midst of anxiety and fear and worry. Many of you know it. Listen to it again. "God, grant me the serenity," which is really another word for peace. "Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." But many folk don't know the rest of the Serenity Prayer. Hear it. "Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it to be, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will." Prayer is a step toward peace when you are anxious and fearful and worried. Pray peace. Then see peace. Bring to your mind, in moments of anxiety, fear, and worry, a visual of peace. When I was in Norway many, many years ago, I had a moment that only could be described for me as a grace God moment. I was out on my bike, and I went to a hillside, and I was on the coast of Norway, and there I looked out early that morning at the fjords of that beautiful coastline. And I just sensed this incredible peace from that scene. It is truly beautiful. Now, and for many, many years, When anxiety and worry and fear begin to well up, I will close my eyes and I will go to Norway. And I will sit on that rock and I will see that scene. See peace. Bring to your mind images of peace. For many folk, looking at the sunset is a beautiful way to find peace. My guess is that many of you have found some moments of peace by looking at such a lovely picture, a sunset. Pray peace, see peace, and thirdly, seek peace. Seek peace. And this is what the shepherds did. They moved. They went to that manger. They drew closer to Christ. You can seek peace by moving closer to God, by reading the Holy Scriptures, by meditating quietly, pondering the truths and miracles of God, by worshiping. As many have said, they come to worship, perhaps you would say, and in moving toward worship, in coming to worship, they find moments of peace. Seek peace. Move toward God. With the shepherds, go to the manger. With the cross, bring it closer to you. Seek peace. And it will come. Friends, we celebrate Christmas, and we know that when God sent Christ, he sent the Prince of Peace to bring peace on this earth. And that begins with peace in your heart and in your mind. So embrace that peace in these Christmas days. Set aside and battle against anxiety, fear, and worry. And allow God's peace to rule in your hearts, for that is what God desires for you. Let's pray. Holy and merciful God, you sent Jesus to the Bethlehem manger so long ago so that we could learn of your ways and your truth. Indeed, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, still in these days, is among us, offering us that peace which passes all human understanding, which calms our hearts and minds. So guide us, God, to pray and pray for peace within, to see peace around us, to seek peace in what we do. Help us, God, for this we know is your will for us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.